Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
James Steele's PR people are going to kill me for this. It's the Hong Kong and Shanghai Banking Company. Sounds like it's out of the 19th century. HSBC, of course, is how we know it, with their acclaimed Asia presence. And also in London, James Steele covers gold. He is definitive in linking the finance of gold, the investment of gold, the mining of gold, also with the soul and the behavior of gold. James Steele, when it was the Hong Kong and Shanghai Banking Company, was gold a big deal? Was gold a big deal in 1860?
Yes, very much so, because of the gold standard reigned supreme at the time, which in fact gave us very long periods of monetary stability worldwide. And of course, sterling at that time had the dollar's position now as the world's reserve currency, and it was backed by gold, and balance payments deficits were sorted out by the transportation of gold from one country to the other.
How do you respond to present day gold standard people? If this economy is this big and this global and this modern, is there enough gold out there to have a standard?
Well, there would be, but I would reject entirely. I think a return to the gold standard is one of the few things that virtually all economists agree on, that it would be futile. It would be utterly counterproductive, because if you were to have a gold standard, you would effectively tie increases in money supply or decreases in money supply to the pace of mining. So the production of more gold, and one of the reasons that the gold standard did work from the 1840s or so through to the eve of the First World War, was because we had an enormous expansion in mining from North America, from Australasia, and from South Africa.
And that's not there.
Repeated.
Yeah, it's not there right now.
Right.
Okay, let's get down to business here. Where's gold in 12 months?
Well, we're looking for moderately higher prices. The physical market, we believe, although it's dulled a little bit recently, was quite strong over the summer, and that's one of the reasons that the massive declines from April and June were halted. And emerging market growth, primarily, although not exclusively in China, has been very strong, at least up until very recently, and we believe that's going to be a key part of the momentum in pushing gold. But we're not looking for dramatically higher prices.
Right.
We're quite sober in our expectations.
Well, what you do best is supply and demand, and that global reach of what people do in emerging markets and all that. I mentioned this yesterday, folks, the elasticity. You can substitute the word responsive there. Gold goes down. We learned that recently, under 1,200, even lower. What was the response? Do people go out and buy gold when it breaks 1,300?
Yes, it was really quite significant. One of the interesting things in the gold market over time is that the locus of physical demand has shifted from the west to the east, and because of more limited incomes, those buyers are much more price responsive than buyers in North America or Western Europe. So you do see a more rapid movement into the market on pronounced price declines, and that is what we experienced from April through through to June, as the investors were pulling out, as the ETFs fell, as the COMEX positions were falling. We saw a rush in from coins, small bars.
Well, there it is on a Friday, folks. I didn't put it in the data check, but I've been watching all week. Australian dollar stronger, 0.9411 U.S. dollars per Aussie dollar. They quote it like the British, like the British do, 0.92, 0.93, 0.94. It's maybe outside what James Steele does, but James, if you see a better Aussie dollar, if you see a less fear of a hard landing in China, does that just assume better commodities and better gold?
It may very well do. I mean, stronger currencies, local currencies, tend to raise mining costs, and which is why producers in South Africa were concerned about the strength of the rand a while ago, and that tends to cut down on the possible supply. But generally speaking, a weaker dollar is positive for all of the precious metals and other commodities.
I look at this, folks. I'm going to put out on Bloomberg Radio Plus, brand new app on the iTunes and Android. Bloomberg Radio Plus, this recent weakness in the South African currency, the rand. You know, it had a run of strength there, James. Emerging markets, you know, and again, away from your expertise, but just within the HSBC mix, can you call bottom in the difficulties within emerging market assets?
Well, I believe, and again, not speaking for myself,
sure.
I believe that our economists, that the lack of tapering coming has been a relief to emerging markets, and there is a correlation over the past 5 to 7 years between gold and emerging market assets. That as they as they do better, gold tends to do better also.
Is it a scarcity of the metal, or is it something else?
I don't think it's a scarcity of the metal. Usually when you get very high forecasts like that, 2,500, 3,000, even higher, they tend to be geopolitically based. It tends to be arguments are made, loss of faith in the dollar, the debt being out of control, the possibility of wars, even natural resource scarcities, things like that. And the higher the price, the more extreme and the more doom is usually encapsulated in the argument.
Nicely put. In the linkage here is price change or inflation. What have you learned about how gold trades recently when you look at any given nation in the United States inflation worries?
Well, this is interesting because we've looked at this reasonably closely, and in the short term, there tends not to be too much of a relationship between gold and inflation, although in the longer term, gold is fairly good at holding value. But gold tends not to react to inflation data as it comes out. Very often you'll see the CPI rises and gold falls. What gold does is it looks past the inflation data to the anticipated monetary response by the central bank. And that's to say that if inflation is suddenly beginning to go higher, the Fed will look, investors will look beyond that and say the Fed may tighten, therefore gold, they will sell gold. And that's why you sometimes get these apparently contrary moves. And this, by the way, explains why gold was able to rally so much in the past few years with extraordinarily low inflation, because the market looked beyond that and said, no, the Fed's got the spigot on, quantitative easing is continuing, and therefore the gold price rose. Because if you looked at the inflation level, that would not have indicated that we were in the gold rally.
Well, that, again, nicely explained, and if you look at the forecast of the Fed this week to 2016, I'm going to be honest, Mr. Steele, I would suggest there's some worry of inflation. We know who the players are, Richard Fisher of Dallas. Alan Meltzer was on the show recently from Carnegie Mellon. That's great. But nobody's talking about the inflation of that 1980s gold spike. Nobody's talking about pre-Volcker inflation, are they?
No, that's correct. And really, gold has got to rise. I mean, inflation has got to rise, you know, several percentage points. And real rates have got to be sharply negative before you get an inflationary boost into the gold price. So that would not be necessarily be, you know, an argument for higher gold prices.
In the time we've got left, let's go to mining. I don't even know where to begin here, so I'm going to let you do it for me. Commodities difficult. Executives through the revolving door. What are they doing? Just cutting costs?
Now, unfortunately, you've got me on ground there where I have to defer to our
sure.
mining analysts.
Okay.
But what I can speak of is in generalities, is that the costs of production are rather high, sustaining and all-in costs are high, and that is you between the $1,000 and the $1,200 level is where you really begin to cut in, and that is one of the reasons why we think a downside to gold is fairly limited, because it will be very difficult given the cost structure.
Well, okay, nicely put. Let me get back to your area. Where's the gold, and what's it look like? I mean, I think I and all of my listeners worldwide, we sort of envision veins of gold through the stone, and there's a pit, and there's a guy with a beard with no teeth going, John Tucker, help me here.
Well, it's no help from me, old timer.
Where's Walter Brennan?
A grizzled veteran of the Rockies.
I mean, it's a stereotype. Get us away from the stereotype.
Well, gold mining is immensely capital intensive, and it requires a high degree of engineering skills, even more so in the platinum mines, which are even deeper. The bulk of gold comes from just a handful of countries, although it's mined in varying degrees almost all over the world. But what we have seen is a drop in ore grades. You know, we've been looking for gold for many thousands of years. And almost all of the world has been canvassed. So it's getting increasingly hard to find large mother lodes. And this means we've got tightness in mine supply projected going forward. And it's going to be difficult. It's really a case of geology, not of money. It's God, not mammon, because there's only so much gold in the world, and it's becoming more difficult to extract, yeah. And it's in more difficult regions.
But we said that about natural gas, and all of a sudden we found Pennsylvania and, I don't know, John, half of France is floating on natural gas. I mean, is there, like, not much gold out there, except we really don't know? Could there be more out there with technological progress?
Well, and at higher prices. But
fair.
You would need significantly higher prices to bring to shift those reserves from proven from probable to proven. So I don't think it's quite the same as in some of the energy resource sector, or say in agriculture, where you might get a greater yield due to scientific development.
Interesting. Let's go back to, again, what you do so great is look at Southeast Asia and the demand out there. India challenge, Raghuram Rajan doing whatever he can to save the central bank, save the currency. Is India going to continue to buy gold? I mean, to me, it's a timeless and certain question. And the answer is yes, but help me with this.
Well, over the long run, yes, but we've seen a paucity of imports into India over the past couple of months. The Indian government, the Indian authorities, and particularly the finance ministry, have identified gold as being one of the reasons for the widening current account deficit. India imported $50 billion worth of gold last year. It was their number two export, I believe, after oil. And they've put taxes on gold imports, and also some regulations, which have choked off the demand for gold over the summer. Now, we think it's going to begin to come back a little. So India has dropped in the league table from first to second, behind China now for demand for gold. Much of it because of government policy. The weak rupee, of course, has also had a great deal to do with this.
Okay, let's leave it there. James Steele, thank you so much.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.